I always love to follow Emily when we present. We've been doing a lot of these co-presentations because she always gives the absolute best reasons why you should be using the technology that I then come on to talk a little bit more in depth about. So thank you, Emily. That was really awesome. I can skip all of my slides that have to do with the why. I think earlier today I was in a panel and the gentleman was like, stop talking about the whys and start talking about the hows. And I thought that comment was superb. So I have a presentation to talk to you today about video artificial intelligence specifically. But since the time that they booked me to talk to you guys, I actually have changed roles at Microsoft. I used to be in our Mark referred to earlier this morning as our Azure Media Services group. But I've actually moved to a broader role, which is responsible for our overall cloud AI and cognitive services platform at Microsoft. So while I just used to focus on the media entertainment industry, you guys, for a very long time, I've been asked by Microsoft to broaden my focus and help with delivering AI solutions for other industries as well. So I thought what I'd try to do with this session is, in the 14 minutes that I have, take you through as much as I can about what this technology is. And I'll skip over some slides maybe that we've covered. You've heard from other speakers about why it's relevant in the space. I think we can all agree that it has a lot of benefits in the media entertainment space. I want to share a little bit more with you. I also am going to forego the live demo that I had planned because I didn't want to have to switch laptops. But I'll show you the place where I really hope you guys, before you leave this building, you will go to this website and try it out for yourself. But this technology is available right now. How many of you were in the morning session downstairs, either that Mark gave or the panel that we just had on cloud AI? Just so I know if any repeats are in the room. Okay, about half. So it'll be a little repetitive for some parts of it. So it goes without saying, Microsoft is focusing, we're all in AI, so to speak. I guess AI could stand for all in a way, because you were hearing from our leaders how important AI can be for not just the future of technology, but its application in really redoing some of the ways that we do these workflows. And I think Emily really spoke to the power of data and how that data can be used to optimize the process. And Kim spoke a lot about how technologies like blockchain are going to have a really altering effect. I think AI is one of them. And so, if you think that $150 billion of IT spend is happening right now, and that is true, then and $19 billion of it is happening in your industry, in the media entertainment industry, well, these are the areas that it's being spent on, is the anticipation. So if your organization is looking at how can we best use this technology, right now these are where our customers are asking Microsoft and our partners to help them build. They're in the areas of digital agents, think bots, think ways to engage with their customers in new ways that use automation in some respects, intelligent applications to help leverage the future of how we transact, how we communicate, and AI-driven business processes. And everything seems to fall into these three categories. And whether you are in production, whether you're in creative, whether you're in advertising, whether you're in finance, it is invariable and inevitable that your organization will consider some of these technologies probably in the next 5 years, if not sooner. And I wanted to just talk to you a little bit about this stuff. Microsoft is building three key areas of AI technology. One is in what we call our AI platform. And I spoke in the morning session, I mentioned that this is not just happening at the cloud, which of course is a big focus for Microsoft, is our Microsoft Azure Cloud platform. But also I talked a little bit about how we're building technology to run on the edge. Devices that themselves have AI capabilities. Drones that can automatically find faces and defects. Cameras that are already tuned to recognize objects, recorders that can auto-translate or do speech-to-text capability. So in the hardware itself is one place, and both cloud and edge. The second area is how do we infuse that AI into the existing processes that you have? How can we augment and enhance? And how do we use that in business solutions that you're already using? So Microsoft has been doing this for years sneakily. We've been adding the same AI technology into Skype, into Office, into Xbox. How many of you have used the Skype program that allows you to have a communication with somebody in another language where they hear you and say in English? or they hear you in German and you hear them in English, but you're in two different countries. That's available today. Some of you may be using some of the OneDrive products that auto-recognize the objects and the data and give you auto-tagging for the things that you're storing in the cloud. These technologies have been in Microsoft products for a long time. They're now available for you to use in your own products, in our own partners' technologies. And that's precisely what our partners like Ooyala and Avid and Adobe are doing, is they're taking the technology that we've made available via our APIs and put them into their own products. So, you know, whether you're talking about data that lives locally, data that may live in the cloud, or a combination of both. I know that in this industry, I often get the complaint, do you really expect me to upload all of my video footage up to the cloud so you can analyze it for faces and objects and words? Well, the answer is no, because that wouldn't make much sense, would it, at all? Why shouldn't you be able to do AI analysis locally and only analyze the stuff that really requires a higher level of cognition? You know, find the pattern, predict for me what this, help me upsell to my customers based on the 10-year history that they have with me. Help me find customers that I'm about to lose because they've suddenly started buying less from me in the last 6 months compared to what they've been doing over the last 3 years. You know, we all have the data, we just haven't been doing anything with it. And that's really what Microsoft is trying to encourage with some of these AI tools. And as I said, they come into these areas of both services and infrastructure and tools. And what you can take from this slide is really, you can use technology that we are providing to you, Microsoft. You can use technology that our partners are providing to you. You can build your own AI technology. And I was talking a little bit this morning about how one of the things is most people think that I have to have a PhD in sort of, you know, engineering or sociology or psychology in order to build an AI model. Well, that's not true anymore. And it's becoming much easier for you to train a model on jargon that I used, on faces, on employees, on objects, you know, the difference between types of machinery that I use. We're working with hospitals and doctor's offices on recognizing the potential for, you know, medical issues that might be had, CAT scan imagery, finding out issues, because the experts are training the model. Microsoft is not training the model. We're just giving the tools to do it. So it really is worth your time, no matter where you are in your organization, to consider, how could I make this process that my team or I do every day repetitively, is there a way for me to automate this in some way or augment it or enhance it in some way? Now, the team that that does some of these human sense stuff, that's called Microsoft Cognitive Services. And we refer to that because it allows the computer to inherit sort of human, previously human-only characteristics. The ability to see something and recognize what it is, that it's a human face, that it's a cat, that it's a tree, that it's the color blue, or to hear something and recognize that it is a word, it is a language, it has context. If it's next to this word, it means something different than if it's next to another word. These capabilities of speech or language or knowledge, or the ability to combine them all together, whether I ingest video or photography or websites or even handwritten notes. And we're doing a lot of handwritten OCR. We just released an OCR that allows you to ingest handwritten notes, and then we'll translate that into data. And so customer businesses that do a lot of still of handwriting in forms, you know, auto towing agencies or insurance claims, they can all now be digitized and still be searched and still use this technology. So it doesn't matter what form of the data you're keeping your records in or keeping your data in, we're giving you this ability to apply it to use the AI services. And we have quite a lot of them. And Microsoft has never been a really great marketing agency when it comes to keeping all of our products named cleanly and collected, but that's okay. You guys want the capability. I don't think you really care what we call it. But between vision and speech and language and knowledge and search, we have a lot of technology that's available for use. And the reason we have so many great partnerships is they help optimize it for your specific need. You know, as Emily was saying, you know, whether your media workflow or production workflow, or your job is to help transcribe, or your job is to help find footage or edit or render, as was being talked about this morning downstairs with Jellyfish. I mean, whatever your role is, there is a possibility that you can use one of these technologies to help augment and enhance that. Now, one of the things that I see in other industries that isn't so commonly seen in this industry, and I think we as a media industry can learn from, is this technology can be applied in many places that we all deal with. Customer lifecycle management, for example. How do we acquire new customers? How do we optimize the experience that they have? How do we support customers when they have questions, when they have problems? And how do we retain customers from leaving us when things are not going so well? And can we use data to help recognize and predict when any of these things are going to happen? Now, on this slide, in this room, the customer to you might be an internal organization. It might be a partner team that you work with. It might be a vendor that you work with or you manage to do your job. It's not just the end customer at home who watches your programs, although we do know that that's very important. But all of these things are happening now using AI technology to make that in some way a little more automated, a little more efficient. Cognitive search, clearly a very big area, and I'm going to focus on this a little bit more to come. But if I have all these assets in my archive, in my library that I'm producing, can I use this technology to find things without having to humanly tag it, to have to humanly transcribe it? And then can I search for it? Can I find it? That's key. And everyone needs the ability to find things that they're looking for much faster than maybe how I've been doing it in the past. What about business process automation? Does anybody outsource the use of translation services or transcription services? Do you outsource document review and routing? Do you have dashboards that identify what's happening in real time, the calls that are coming into your center, the questions that are being asked? Do you have a handwriting analysis ability, or is that somebody's job is to take something that somebody wrote by hand and just type it? These are skills that are still being happening in great numbers in industries that really seem, in some cases, to be a little funny, that we're still doing a lot of things by hand, but that is, in fact, what we are. So how can we use technology to make some of these processes better, and more importantly, what can we do that's more advanced? So this is a slide of what other industries are already engaged in, doing pattern analysis and predictive action, whether they're doing it to try to predict trends, or I was talking to someone at lunch about building personalization and customization engines for maybe end viewers to make their experience a little better, or forecasting. If you're in a manufacturing space, how can I predict and find defects, visual defects? How many bad frames of video do you guys have? Or how many times do color bars sneak into your video? Or other kinds of things that a human are currently doing, maybe you don't need a human to do them anymore because they're a little on the simple to be able to do. So these are things that other industries are doing. And you know, when I built this slide, it was really to kind of challenge everyone to say, imagine if you could do any of these things in an automated way. Could I transcribe my video content, transcribe my audio content, do video search, create captions, find, you know, give me a summarized reel. A visiting dignitary comes into town and you need back footage of the last time the president of China came to town. Where is it in my archive? I don't know. Quick, order a digital agent to find you a 30-second clip of the president of China from your entire history. Produce it and then give it to you in an MP4 format or a, whatever your format of choice happens to be. Why shouldn't that be a task that you can ask to be automated? A human doesn't have to do that. A human probably should check the quality of your captions before you put it on air, but a human doesn't have to say, just find me all the instances where, you know, a certain politician said this phrase over and over again so I could get a count. And then my anchor can appear really smart on the news when they say, you know, Senator so-and-so said this phrase 11 times in the last 24 hours without you having to count it. These are things that happen all the time in our business, and they don't have to happen manually all the time. And you know, if you want to call it video AI, and we've been referring to video artificial intelligence as a way to do more with video, whether it's improving its discoverability or raising its value or all the things that Emily so aptly spoke to, we think that this technology has a lot of play in the media industry. And these are the specific services themselves. And guess what? Everything in these green boxes is already available. You can use it today. You can use it right now in this room with the website I'm going to give you. So whether your job is in the area of speech to text or translation and face detection and recognition and motion detection and just taking videos that are jerky and stabilizing them, whatever, or finding nudity or finding profanity. I think Kim's video had a little curse word in it, and maybe she wanted to know that before she came up on stage. You know, we could have run that through and said, hey, guess what? The word blank is in your video, just so you knew. Whatever your need happens to be, these are all capabilities that exist now. And in fact, our partners like Avid and Uyala and others are using them already. They've already built them into their products, and some of the folks that are out in the hall, they're already using these today. So this is not pie in the sky. What is pie in the sky is what are the applications that you can dream of to use this stuff to do. And that's what everyone's sort of floundering. And I think one of the speakers said, you know, we're only talking about this early because it's cool new technology like blockchain. 3 years from now, we're not going to have conferences like this. We're going to be talking about the next thing because we're already be using this in the products and the processes that we use. So here's the website. It's called Video Indexer. There's even a shorter version we just put out. It's video.ai. Really easy. I invite everyone in this room for free, I promise, to go to that website, take a video that you have, make it easy on yourself. There's my beep. Make it easy on yourself. Take an MP4 file. Lowish quality is fine. Doesn't have to be 4K. And upload it into this website. And what it's going to do for you is it's going to analyze your video for you. And I was going to show this live, but because I got the beep. Obviously, I didn't have time to set up. It looks like this. So I take my video and I analyze it. It creates the captions, it does the speech to text, it finds all the faces and identifies the faces for you, it finds all the keywords, words that get getting repeated over and over again, forming a theme, it finds all the labels for you. You can even share the video if you want. You'll get a URL back if you want to play it. That's up to you if you want to leave the video up in the cloud, or you can delete it right away. Your goal is to create the metadata. And then the goal from the metadata is to do something with the metadata. And the metadata may not be just to make it cooler to find the instances of every time Donald Trump is eating an orange, which is what I was going to show you, which is search for those two in this and find a video that has that matching, right? That might not be your goal. Your goal might be another use. Your goal might be, for example, to say, take the video and create a captioning file, just so I can search for words. Right? Or your goal might be to translate it into another language, like this, translate it into Spanish, so I can republish it in Spanish, just so my Spanish-speaking audience can at least read along the theme of the video. And I had a customer who used this. They were trying to get Middle Eastern content accessible to their employees who don't speak Arabic. So we took Arabic content, we ran it through this, we created a transcript. The transcript's about 80% accurate or so. And they watched the content, they understood what was relatively going on, that they could work with non-English speaking content a lot cheaper than hiring another 10 employees who speak Arabic. I'm not trying to put anybody out of work, I'm just trying to say, give you new skills that you wouldn't otherwise have. All right? And this is the flow. Upload a video, extract the metadata, curate it if you want. Curate it means, and I don't have time to go into all the different ways that you can customize the service. Insert faces that you know that we don't know. Insert words that you know that we don't know. Everybody has jargon. Everybody has three-letter acronyms. Everybody has names of things. You can upload a file that says, these are my custom terms, and it makes it more accurate. And then you can use that too. And then if you want, you can publish it, or you can take it off the cloud, or you can send it to a third-party tool and let them do some fun things. Uyala has a great demo you should ask them about, which is inserting advertising into programming based on the words that were used in the program that preceded the ad. I love that. Or the face of the actor that was in the program is then chooses the video of the advertisement that follows. Make it a little more relevant to your viewer. I love that. You know, these are just very simple examples. The power of this is to generate the data. We all know that. And this is a sample of the data. I'm going to skip that. I think it was mentioned before, and I'll mention again, this is happening now. This is technology that's in use now. And we put out this case study because I think it's a fantastic one that speaks to how a studio in Europe, this is Endemol Shine Group, is using this right now, not just for produced content that they aired, but rather while the show is being taped. They have cameras running, and the real-time feed of that of the studio in the house of Big Brother is going into the AI engines and spitting out the tags in real time. So their editors are having access to the footage that was just shot with the tags in real time. They produced the show about in half the time. And they kind of saw this and went, well, this is a no-brainer for us because the amount of time that we were spending trying to look through our footage was ridiculous. And if you can help us with that, even if the tags are not always accurate, right? Everybody complains that I didn't find the flamingo in the corner and it looked like a sofa or whatever, right? But we were very close. and that is amazingly helpful. So, you know, I urge you to look at that. This is their architecture. I won't run through it for you, but it is real. And whether you are in breaking news, I'm going to race through these things, or user-generated content trying to find nudity, or you're delivering content to multiple partners and it has to change format, or you're generating subtitles, or trying to get somewhat accurate subtitles. A gentleman was asking me earlier about building recommendation engines. These are all use case scenarios today that are currently happening now that we're working with either Microsoft Direct or through our partners to do this, or transform the user experience. Make it so that I have a personalized TV, the Martin TV channel, which knows what I watch, which knows what I like, which knows what actors, the advertisements change. That's a real live example. It's called Zone TV, one of our customers that are working with us. They've built this service based on this technology. It is real. And so, you know, I'll leave you with this. You know, if you are trying to answer questions, if you're trying to augment or enhance your workforce, if you're trying to know more about your customers, if you are looking to build a solution that's as complicated as this slide is up here, we think we have a whole lot of technology that can help you. And we think that we're, you know, I'm biased, of course, but I think that Microsoft is the best place to work with this technology, because we really, we are here to support you. We do not have a competitive service to media, you know. We do not intend to try to use the data so we can sell more of something else. We have a very strict privacy and security policy. We are really a platform to enable you to be more productive. And so I'll leave you with that. Again, video.ai. Put it to memory. Go to it. It's free. Why not use it, right? I think you can upload about 40 hours of content. So that's a lot to get free to try it out. And if you really like it, then go start using it. It's available today to be used if you want to go beyond 40 hours. I'll give you my email address.
Oh, sorry. I'm working on my
laptop. There's my email address, mawall@microsoft.com. Feel free to send me any questions that you have. We are doing all kinds of AI university, AI training sessions all across the world. So, and they last a lot longer than my 15 minutes of fame here. So if any of this sort of ticks an interest with you, please let us know, any of the Microsoft folks that are here, and we'll be happy to have, you know, brainstorming, whiteboarding sessions with you. We'll be happy to introduce you to any of our partners if you didn't get the list from the slides. So thank you very much for your attention, and I appreciate it. I hope you had a really great day.
Thank you, Martin. Let's give him a big round of applause.